You can clothe yourself in religion and you can hide and you can pretend and you can walk and you can know when to lift your hands. You can know when to clap. You can know when to fill out the offering. You can know what words to say, but you can be dead inside. Dead inside. That should not be if you are born again and have newness of life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And throughout the Word of God, we see that God responds to faith. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part two of A Transforming Faith.
Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, verse 2, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul was so fierce in his persecution of Christians that he asked for permission from the high priest. Again, this shows a place of authority Paul has. The high priest recognizes it. He goes, listen, you go, boy. You go on over to Damascus, which is in Syria, neighboring to Israel today. It's not just good enough to persecute the church here because the church has scattered. And remember, there were a lot of folks in Galilee, which is very close to that Syrian border as well, and going towards Damascus. So Paul says, let me go ahead and find those folks which have fled on over into those Jewish communities in Damascus. Let's round them up. Let's bring them back to Jerusalem. Let them stand trial, and we'll eradicate this thing once and for all. That's his heart. That's his desire, is to bring back these Jewish converts who have become Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem. Paul was zealous, man. He was full of zeal. His desire was to rid the Jews of Christianity. He did not want the Jews to believe in a Messiah whom he didn't believe was Messiah. He was an unbeliever. And so his desire was not that the Jewish community would then believe in Jesus as Messiah, and they would miss the true Messiah. That's what he thought. That was his thinking. That was his belief. That's when a persecution arose, and these converts fled to places, and Damascus was one of those. Look on down at chapter 9, verses 3 and 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Church, we're the body of Christ, by the way. When you persecute the church, you persecute Christ. Why are you persecuting me? Verse 5. And he said, who are you, Lord? He instantly knows who he's speaking to now. He's talking to the Lord. Then the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Can you imagine already what is happening in this man? Here he is persecuting Christ. He is persecuting his Lord without even knowing it, or without even, he's doing it blindly, so to speak. He thinks he's doing something great for God. Have you read into people who think they're doing great things for God, but blindly they're not? That's what deception is. I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 6, so he trembling and astonished, that's a good word, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Listen, if you think someone is gone, they're far off in left field, they're not redeemable. Paul is a great example. He's a guy who has murdered and killed Christians, put Christians in jail, and God, the Lord Jesus, sees potential in him. He sees potential in him. And we know the end of the story. Paul becomes one of our greatest defenders, one of our greatest evangelists, so to speak, one of our greatest promoters of the Christian faith. But today, we would look at that guy and say, there's no way. I mean, we would start lawsuits, we would do all kinds of campaigns, because that's our faith. We don't believe people can really be changed and redeemed. You know why? Because we don't experience change and redemption the way we should ourselves. So So we think that everyone else is like us. I changed a little, but I didn't change a lot. Okay, I'm getting close to some of y'all now, I know. Paul was a persecutor of the faith. Hey, listen, if our experience doesn't add up to the Word of God, it doesn't mean the Word of God is broken. It means something's wrong with us. Let's start over and let's get it right, correct? Let's just not play religious la-di-da and think and play pretend like everything's okay. It's not. And it's okay to admit that. I'm in with you. I'm not preaching at you. I've preached this to myself already. Paul has this supernatural spiritual encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. Jesus reveals himself to Paul. Paul responds to this revelation by faith, obeying the words of the Lord Jesus, and he goes into the city of Damascus and waits for final instructions. Boy, I got something I want to say, and I just can't. I got to stay focused here. You'll have two different sermons going on here. You don't have that much time and patience. On the road to Damascus, Paul, in his encounter with the Lord, it renders him blind. It renders him blind, but he's blinded for a purpose. He's blinded for a purpose because blindly he has persecuted the church. Blindly he has terrorized Christians. Blindly he has terrorized the Lord, whom he is. Here's a great example. Here's a guy that knows the Word of God, memorizes it. He's a Pharisee, trained, learned guy. He knows all about the Word, knows it frontwards and backwards. There's plenty of people who have knowledge of the Word of God but don't know the Lord they're serving. Call it faith. Paul is blind. We couldn't go toe-to-toe with Paul in the Old Testament, so to speak. He would just wipe the floor with us and his knowledge and his memory of the Scriptures. Paul is a man who's blind. He's blinded for a purpose because he's spiritually blind. Prior to the encounter, Paul would never consider himself spiritually blind. Later in Scripture, Paul speaks about this in very great detail. He talks about how zealous he was in his faith, how zealous he was towards the traditions of God, and that how he would arrest Christians and have them thrown in prison and have them executed in order to preserve his faith. And he talks about how he was trained in the Word of God in Scripture and how he studied under Judaism's one of Judaism's greatest rabbis. As a Pharisee, Paul was educated in the law. Again, we quote books of the Bible, but he was blind to the truth. How many people you know about God, but they're spiritually blind? Jesus said this in John 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born again, is what he's speaking of. Paul, like so many people in the church today, have something they call faith, a way that they identify as a Christian, but at the end of the day, it's nothing more than knowledge. It's not a work of the Spirit that's taking place. Church, some of us can get so blind because of religion. I believe there are churches just like ours. I've said this before. This is why I preach. I'll preach salvation all day long. Because I don't believe that everybody walks through those doors is saved. I don't believe that everyone who calls Holt Assembly of God their church home is saved. I can't fall into that assumption because I know this. You can clothe yourself in religion and you can hide and you can pretend and you can walk. You can know when to lift your hands. You can know when to clap. You can know when to fill out the offering. You can know what words to say. But you can be dead inside. Dead inside. That should not be if you are born again and have newness of life. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost in sin, bound in religion. And Paul was a man both bound by sin and religion, desperate in need of a Savior. But we can look at a person like Paul, a person who is bound in religion, a person who is bound in sin, and say, that's worthless. That man has no potential. He's a murderer. He's a killer. Jesus said, that's the guy I want. That's the one I want. He's going to do great things for me if he'll step into them by faith. See, Paul had a decision. This was not a done deal. He had to step, he had to obey. He had to follow Jesus. He had to have new birth. He had to receive the Holy Spirit. Despite being responsible for the imprisonment and death of Christians, Jesus sees his potential. Look at Ephesians 2:10. This is the verse we centered on last week. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created unto these works, this purpose. We have potential, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, what does that leave us? We have the responsibility then to walk in them, because they're not going to happen automatically. God has predestined works for us to do, but we've got to walk in them. Jesus knows Paul can do exactly what he's created him for if he'll repent. However, Paul must make that decision and walk in faith. And we see that here in this story. Church, we must make a daily decision to walk in our potential. And this does not happen by accident. It happens through faith. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 17. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house." Ananias is a Christian. He's there in Damascus. He's one of these folks that Paul's looked for to murder. But Paul has had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Ananias went to his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, let me know." Look, wouldn't that mess you up? This guy goes into the city. He's blind. Jesus just tells him, "Go in the city, wait. Someone will come along and tell you what you need to know." And here comes this guy, knows exactly what this person needs. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. How many of you remember the day the scales were lifted from your eyes? Blind to the truth, but you saw. See, if that hasn't happened, you must be born again. Because that will happen for you. I don't know about for you, but for me, no one needed to tell me I needed to stop doing certain things. There wasn't a sermon series by the pastor after I got saved that said, "You shouldn't listen to this, you shouldn't watch that, you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that." I just had conviction. And the more I got into the Word of God, the more I would read, I would just find myself 20, 25 chapters a day just reading. And the hungrier I got for God, the less hungry I got for this world. If you can't figure out why you don't have a closeness, if you can't figure out why God seems distant, draw close to him. Draw close to him. Boy, your flesh will resist you. You know what? You can be perfectly awake. I'm way off my sermon already. I don't even know where I'm at now. I'll get there someday. But anyways, listen, if you are struggling in your relationship with God, this thing just becomes mute. Listen, you can be wide awake. You can have four cups of coffee in you. You can start reading this, and all of a sudden you're like, and you say, "Oh man, this is boring." No, you're dead inside. You're dead inside. Don't look at me like I'm being mean to you. I've been dead inside before. I've had several lifespans of deadness. It's called life, church. I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to get you to look at the things. Just be real. Be honest. Don't play religion. Don't play the game. Be honest with God. Listen, you can come through those doors, shout, sing, praise, lift your hands, come to the altar. But unless it's real, unless it's genuine, unless there's something in your heart that says, "God, I'm dying inside, I just need you," you're just going to keep on keeping on. When you came to Jesus by faith, you were born again. The Holy Spirit makes you a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," "the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here."
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed by this message and your faith encouraged. Be confident in the Lord Jesus, confident in his love, his mercy, and his ability to do what he says he can do. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.